Hey guys. Seamus is away on vacation and I'm left here to edit the podcast, but I just wanted to make a little announcement. As some of you may already know, I'm starting an English language bookstore in Oslo. No, not English as in England. English as in the language. Very important that I say that or Seamus will get mad at me. I promise I'll also carry some Irish literature. This is going to be Oslo's only English language bookstore. And I'm hoping to open in the next couple months. I'm running a crowdfunding campaign right now. And if you want to donate, if you feel called to donate, or if you maybe want to share on social media, you can find all that info at splice.no/prismaticpages. And you can follow Prismatic Pages on Instagram or check out the website at prismaticpages.com. And I'll leave a link in the description so that you can click on that as well. Okay. Don't tell Seamus that I added this. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to Normal for Norway.
I'm Indigo.
And I'm Seamus.
This is the podcast where each episode we dissect one weird thing about Norway.
So sit back, relax, and remove the worm from your brain. Which
scary
is a horrendous story. So we've been... this is like turning into a podcast that kind of is covering the Australian foraging community's ups and downs. And it's mostly downs
what
these
ups?
Days.
There's no ups.
So if you listen to part one of this like series, or what do we call it? Part one of...
It's just part...
One of an episode? Yeah. Is it one episode that's part one
yeah.
and two? Yeah.
We just have two episodes, yeah.
We talked about a woman who poisoned... her family.
Maybe. Allegedly.
Well, as in she did poison them, but if it's accidentally
sorry, yes.
or not, we don't know.
Yes. The only update I have on that, by the way, is like they still haven't just like figured it out, but what the one guy got out of the hospital. There was one guy that like survived.
Yeah. Okay, so he's...
He just got out of the hospital.
God.
So,
and his wife
soon.
Died.
Yeah.
Yeah, so grim.
But anyway
also
this, in Australia
because this one says Australia news freaky in quote Australia's foraging community shocked after parasitic worm found in woman's brain. I mean, are they shocked anymore? It's like they're like yeah
another. Shocked.
No, so this was a crazy thing. It says some swear off picking their own food after infection believed to be linked to collecting and consuming greens from bushland. So this woman basically 64-year-old woman from southeastern New South Wales had an 8-centimeter long live parasitic roundworm pulled from her brain in a world first. Like, I should hope so. Or like, yeah, I don't know. The creatures are usually found in pythons. Like, everything about this story is so disgusting. It's like, I don't want a worm in my brain, and I especially don't want a worm in my brain that normally lives in a snake. Not that I'm that anti-snake, actually. I kind of like snakes.
So do I, but...
But no. Yeah, and basically they think she was foraging for greens, and then they think that an egg like was on one of these greens, and then she ate it. But like it's unclear how it got into her brain.
Oh, my God.
Like, what's the connection? How does anything get into your brain?
I don't even know.
Because I thought it would have to pass the... Like, there's the blood-brain barrier.
Yeah.
Did it burrow in? Oh. Did it, like, go up her, like, sinus and, like...
But also, I'm kind of surprised that this has never happened before, because it says that people do forage for these greens, like, in this area.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm just like, is it...
Well, the thing is, like... And this is, like... I remember I was talking to my friend who's a doctor in Australia about this story. And I was like, oh, is it just that nowadays people are being... Like, we have more... technology to actually test people for like what is happening and so on. So it's like, this is like, I suppose if you were this woman, in a way you would be relieved, because like, you know, they didn't know what was wrong with her. She had like these neurological problems, I think, like, for example, yeah, by the following year she was also experiencing forgetfulness and depression.
Whoa.
So like the worm in her brain.
Oh, sorry, this was like
her...
a long time.
Yeah. So it was like she first presented to hospital in January 2021 after suffering 3 weeks of abdominal pain and diarrhea, followed by constant dry cough, fever, and night sweats. And then the following year, she was experiencing forgetfulness and depression. So like in a way you'd be like, oh,
maybe I have a brain worm.
Yeah, but yeah, well, the forget. Yeah, yeah. Fuck, we should all get tested. No, but like in a way, you'd be like, oh, at least I'm not like, you know. It's like I feel like if you had depression, it's such a thing of like, why am I depressed?
Yeah,
and it's such a
yeah, that's
like,
true.
It's like if it's just a worm in your brain, it's almost a relief. It's like, oh well, it yeah, wasn't something wrong was with my worm. Life or with me. It was just it was a worm in my brain. But I don't know. We need to ask her if she was relieved or not. Gosh. But I would maybe be relieved if it then cured me of like
of
my.
I would be yeah. relieved. Mm. Sign me up for
brain worm brain removal. Yeah.
That's so crazy.
But so the moral of the story, because we love a moral on this podcast,
we like to moralize. Yeah.
Is wash. Everything that you forage.
Yeah.
Because apparently, like, she didn't wash the greens or something. Or also just cook them uh-huh. enough. Because I think that's the thing. It's like, anything that we forage, we do cook. Anything raw.
No, but eating berries, maybe.
I used to wash it.
No, but sometimes you're just out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Things. But, like, that's fine.
Is it?
I hope.
Ugh, I mean.
That's a crazy thing. I would have thought that. If a worm egg got into your stomach, that the acid would like, but maybe it didn't go in the stomach. That's the problem.
I mean, and we need more information.
Is it foraging? Maybe anyway.
Oh my god, I'm freaked out.
Freaky.
Freaky. I agree. Yeah, I agree with the it was the doctor who said that, right?
Yeah.
Freaky. I do have one more piece of news, though.
Yes, I'm excited.
Local news.
Okay.
So,
as always,
we have to always have something from
local podcast for local people.
News. This is from Aviso Oslo, of course.
Oh, I hate this already.
Yeah.
Indigo has pulled up a picture of a blood stain.
Blood. Yes, blood on a.
Staircase.
Yeah, and you can see like it looks like blood, right?
Yeah,
but guess what, it wasn't blood.
But where was it?
It was on a staircase in an apartment building.
Oh, okay.
And somebody rang the police, but what was it? They came to investigate. It was blueberry juice.
But sorry, it's a tiny amount of blood. I cannot
it's
believe
like
that somebody
spatter.
No, but like that looks like someone just cut their finger.
Yeah, but you'd still be freaked out.
I would not call the police if I saw that. But maybe I'm a bad like citizen.
I mean, in fairness, I wouldn't either, actually. But so the headline is like the blood in quotes could was blueberry juice. It could have been serious, which I love.
It could have been serious. It's like if this blueberry juice was
blood. It's like, but it wasn't. So why is this a story?
But also, what cut should it have been? Like, it literally looks like, yeah, someone cut their finger.
It's like, and
or had a nosebleed.
This is local news at its finest. Like, by Eirik Lukimon Bjerklund. It's like, and then the intro is like, what looked like a serious police matter in Bislett was something completely different. And then it's like apparently they came and like talked to people
they're
living
scraping
there.
The barrel here and they, also like that's they, a waste of police time
they came
I'm sorry.
To like talk to the people living there and then they're like we figured out it was just blueberry
oh, so did
juice.
Someone post in like the Facebook and someone's like oh yeah that was my soft
no so I think they went and actually talked to the people like the police knocked on doors
oh.
Which I'm also like could you not recognize blood you're police officers like
I
you would think that a police officer would like
yeah.
poke at that a bit and be like, wait a second, this doesn't consist.
It's, I mean, from the picture, it looks like blood to me.
Of course, but we're not
actually,
police
that's
officers.
The thing, blueberries are actually normally more blue.
And then, oh, sorry, this is what it says. It's like, we got the message and we like took this very seriously. And so then we wanted to see if there was anyone that was seriously injured.
Yeah.
So we were like led by the blueberry droplets
oh.
to an apartment. And then we met the person living there who told us that it was just blueberry juice.
Was it the ice pick in the drawing room? Like, literally, it's so Cluedo. Following the drips of blueberry juice.
But they actually say, like, oh, it's good that they called us because it could have been something serious.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Or it could, you know, yeah, be someone that's being, like, beaten up. And then it's like, you know, they're just dragged up to their apartment. Oh, I actually just watched a scary movie called Greta. Yeah, about no, no, about I'm not gonna like ruin it for our listeners, but spooky stuff happening.
You don't like scary movies.
Well, you know, actually, so I had COVID last week. Mm-hmm. Was it last week?
It was.
Yeah. So it's doing the round, guys. Be careful out there.
Watch out for blueberry juice.
Yeah. And worms in your brain and COVID. People are going to be like cowering in their beds after listening to this podcast. I can't go out.
It's almost Halloween.
Yeah. No, I had COVID last week, so I was very bored and I was just like watching a lot of stuff at home and like crocheting. Mm. I'm into crochet now. I'm crocheting a shirt, which looks really good. And I was making such good progress on it because I was just at home the whole time and I've basically done half the shirt and I wanted to get it done in time for our trip, which is on Thursday. There's no way in hell I'm going to do that. But I do have two long flights, like one to Doha and then one to Seoul. So maybe I can get it like a bit done on that. Anyway, we were watching a lot of movies. And I was just like, I actually am so bored of watching movies that then watching a thriller was fun and exciting because it was kind of like...
It made me feel something.
Yeah. It's like when you're like so locked up inside that it's like, okay, this is now scary and exciting.
Yeah.
We watched two scary movies, I think.
Wow.
Or no, the other one was Missing. Have you watched that one?
No.
You have to watch that. It is, honestly, it needs to win an Oscar.
Is it new?
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, anyway, we're turning into like a film podcast, but it's basically a thing happens, a mystery happens, and then this and it's all like done through like this like Gen Z's like phone and her computer. So everything is like via Snapchat, and then like she uses her like Gen Z skills to like solve this mystery.
Oh, fun.
And it's super exciting and like just has you on the edge of your seat. It reminds me of, I can't remember it now, but the one that's set in Connecticut with
The Blair Witch Project?
No. It's like set in kind of like Stepford Wives kind of vibe. And then there's like twins. And then like one of them like is drowning in a lake. And
oh, the one we saw. Didn't we see
it? No, but what's it called? It has like a million plot points.
A Simple Favor.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like one of those movies where it's like you're just like there's like so much stuff happening all the time. It's like the opposite of Art House.
Yeah.
It's just literally like the plot is like. Yeah.
Love that.
Great.
All right, two great film recommendations from Seamus.
Trashy, both very trashy.
Oh, I love it. So, okay, in part one of foraging, we did like history and what even is foraging and how it's viewed in Norway and all that. Now we're going to get down to the nitty gritty of what do people actually forage, the rules, the written and unwritten rules, and being safe, and then what we actually make or like eat it with. And So... what do people forage in Norway? What do you forage?
I would say the top one is berries, right? Mm-hmm. That's easy. They're everywhere. Like, you know, my friend is visiting at the moment who's from Ireland, but kind of lives in New Zealand, but kind of lives in America, whatever. But he was like, there are blueberries everywhere. He was like, it's the most common plant. Like when you're walking the forest, it's like, it's just a blanket of blueberry bushes across the whole forest floor.
Yeah.
So I think if I was to guess... hot takes, which is this podcast's speciality, would be that the most foraged thing is blueberries, right?
I think that's probably true. I remember Caitlin told me something funny, which is that when she first moved to Norway, she would see people with those like blueberry gadgets that you can kind of like scrape the whole bush with.
Berry pickers.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have one.
I have one, but I haven't actually used it. But
right.
She was saying that she was kind of like horrified because she was like, oh my God, these people are like taking all the berries. But then she after like living in in Norway for a couple of years, she realized like there's so many freaking blueberries that you will never
pick them all. Like, I know. It's not like, because we'll get onto it later, because like certain things are like so rare and like, I feel like people have their like secrets about like where to find them and so on. Yes. But like blueberries are 10 a penny.
Yeah.
In fact, Alex bought me, or was it Alex that bought me this? I think a book, which is called Bad, meaning berries, which I think it's like a laminated thing that you can kind of like take out with you, maybe to help you like identify and stuff. And the first berry is blueberry.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the blueberries though that you get here aren't like the ones that you buy in the shop.
No.
Because the ones that you buy in the shop are big.
Yeah.
And the flesh is white.
Yeah, it's really weird. And whereas then the wild ones are really, really, well, they look like blood.
Yeah, they're small. And also the flesh isn't white, right? It's like blue.
No, it's bloody. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like blue or red. Yeah, like I was out picking, I actually went out to pick raspberries, which is another one that there's many of in Oslo. They come in like July. That's a good thing, I suppose, with foraging. It's like there's a very like, you know, set season of like, all the different things that you can like pick, except for the winter. Sad. Or maybe there are things that you can Farge in the winter. Snow.
Ice.
Yeah. Oh my God. I farged some amazing icicles the other day. No, but I went out to pick raspberries, but I ended up actually just picking a lot of like blueberries, or I picked both, but my hands on the bus back, yeah. It looked like I had garroted something. Like, I was like, this is alarming. Luckily, nobody called the police. I can imagine that. Like, yeah, we saw a man on the bus.
His hands
were covered in blood. And he was chatting away, having a drink.
Absolutely mad.
Yeah.
There's also Tit de Bash.
Yeah, okay. So that was because I just looked up what is Tit de Bad, or what's, because Tit de Bad is basically lingonberry, which some people will know if you like, or like if you're Norwegian, of course, you know, but if you're American, Irish, English, other continental, African, Asian, whatever, maybe, I don't think lingonberries are kind of a Scandinavian thing, right?
I think so. I believe maybe they're also available in Canada because of the similarity to the Norwegian climate.
Well, okay, so I just before this googled what's the difference between a cranberry and a lingonberry.
But they're very different.
Yeah, well, they're in the same family of berry, mm-hmm. So they're like cousins. But I actually think that the blueberries that we get in the supermarket are maybe in the same relation to the blueberries that we get in the forest here, because it said cranberries have white flesh, whereas lingonberries have like red flesh. Because you know when you like bite into a cranberry, mm-hmm. If you ever like buy fresh cranberries,
they're not good. Really
no.
Them,
no. It's like if you're making cranberry sauce or something, but like if you buy fresh cranberries, when you bite in, the flesh is white. Mm-hmm. It's like the same with the blueberry. Or the blueberries that you buy in the shop are like yellow, the flesh.
They're weird, yeah.
They're weird. We hate them. The blueberry lobby is going to be... The blueberry farming lobby is not going to be happy. But yeah, they're just kind of like cranberries, but maybe a little bit more sweet, mm-hmm. and smaller.
They're delish.
They grow kind of around blueberries, but they're a little bit more... Like a blueberry, I just feel it's like, I'll grow anywhere. I'm trash. Whereas a cranberry or a lingonberry is a little bit more like, oh, I'm not going to grow there.
You're like, hey.
Yeah, I'll grow here.
Yeah.
But not there. But I only use those for jam.
Yeah.
Making jam for Christmas to have with the dibbe.
Yes. We'll get into that when we talk about what we actually do with them. But I want to cover cloudberries.
Well, that is the most of all the berries.
Absolutely. Like,
like she is...
unavailable. No, she's booked. Yeah. She's busy.
She's booked. She's busy.
Call her like, assistant. You won't get through.
She's at Milan Fashion Week. Like, she is at Tromsø Fashion Week. Like, she is not answering your calls. Because I'm even like looking in the book here. It's like blueberry, like lingonberry, like all these berries. There are multiple berries on the like twig. The cloudberry, one. Like a one skinny twig, and then just a single
That's
berry.
Fashion.
Just like. At the top. Yeah.
And so the thing is, have you ever actually picked them?
My God. Okay, so I ate my first
fresh
cloudberry this year.
Oh, really?
Alice and I went to a cabin in Vest-Telemark. Mm-hmm. So like nearly in Vestlanda. Mm-hmm. We had to drive quite a long way to get there, and it was really beautiful. And we went on this hike, and then I saw these cloudberries just like popping up, and like many of them weren't ripe, and they're bright red when they're not ripe, mm-hmm. and then they turn kind of like orange, mm-hmm. and I didn't pick the red ones, of course, because I am an ethical forager.
Yes.
But when I picked the orange one, it was like, it was truly like heaven in my mouth. It was like creamy, but acidic.
They have such a unique taste.
Kind of this like umami.
Yeah, umami.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like very rare and extremely expensive if you need to buy them, and only available frozen. Because I think they're
so they're so delicate, apparently.
You can't cultivate them.
You can't cultivate them. And then even if you could, pick them wild and sell them, they are so delicate that they're basically impossible to ship.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can only really get them like either as like jam or frozen. And
it's literally like a natural version of, you know, like what the diamond companies do. Because like diamonds aren't actually rare, isn't that the thing?
Yeah.
And we can like lab make them now.
Yeah.
But then the diamond companies got together and like made a false scarcity. The cloudberry did that evolutionarily, just she knew.
Yeah.
How to like, it's like a Birkin bag.
Right.
The cloudberry is the Birkin bag of berries. I said it.
I agree.
Yeah.
And if you're not on the list, you never will be.
No. And if you don't know, you know. What's it? You know, you know.
If you know, you know.
Be there. But the interesting fact about cloudberries that I know is that there is actually one colony of cloudberries that grows in Ireland on a bog in Northern Ireland. And it's they think it's been there since the Ice Age.
Wow.
Because it was like, because they grow on bogs.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of also why they're hard to find, because they're maybe in parts that you don't really walk on that much because exactly, it's very boggy. Because
yeah. When I went to pick them, I got like soaking wet, but I was with Sophie and it's at her like aunt and uncle's cabin, and they have like a patch they always go to. And it was amazing. There were so many. We were able to pick a ton, but it was just so crazy because, yeah, they were just in areas that you never would go.
No.
Because
yeah.
For good reason.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, so they're just in really like crazy remote areas.
Yeah, and Alex made cloudberry liqueur. Like he just kind of steeped the cloudberries. But like, the problem is he bought this like really cheapy alcohol that then the taste of the alcohol is kind of like Everclear kind of vibe. Yeah. So then the taste of the alcohol is kind of bad, but it's still like delish. But Alex's aunt has a lot on her like cabin
dump
or whatever. And she gives us some. So
nice.
That's like delish.
Yeah. Yeah, I also made a liqueur and it was really good.
Okay, then the older berries, crowberries rank.
Yeah.
Or like, well, like what can you do with those? I always see them and I'm kind of like, I eat one and I'm just like, nah, not that good. Raspberries, like they're kind of rare, but like also not
I love raspberries.
They come in July, but I feel like you can buy them in the shop.
Yeah.
You know? And then, oh, blackberries. I don't actually see blackberries in Norway that much. They're more of like a temperate thing.
Yeah,
Seattle,
I don't.
Right?
Yes, yeah, tons in Seattle. I've seen them a couple times, but almost never.
Sloes.
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen some sloes down near where we live that we should pick. Apparently, you're meant to wait until the first frost, and then we should make sloe gin.
Nice.
And I mean, they're calling morels berries, but that's not. Oh, the other thing, svartsurbad. You know, like the what's it called in English? Saskatchewan berry.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, or like in Norwegian it translates as black sour berry.
Okay.
They just like grow on like the side of roads and stuff and they taste terrible. Oh. I remember we looked it up on Wikipedia and it was like some people describe the taste as foul. But if you make it into a jam or a liquor, it's pretty nice. Remember I made you one.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what that was.
Svartsurbad with tonic.
Yeah.
And it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Okay.
Indigo says with a gun to her head. It's pretty good. And then, reeps. Do you have anything to say about them?
No, I mean, it's the same.
Oh, and then what are the ones that flavor the gin? Einabad?
Juniper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, what would you do with those?
Yeah.
You maybe put them in a stew.
Yeah.
Like one in a stew or something.
I would never bother.
And then there's the poisonous ones, which we're not going to talk about.
Yeah, for everyone else's safety.
There's rose hip. I've seen a lot of those around, but I've never
foraged those.
No, but
probably
what can
should.
You do with them? Anyway, if you
can make a rose hip jam.
Yeah, you guys can submit a ticket to our Wikipedia if you know what to do with rose hip.
Submit a ticket to Wikipedia. Okay, what else?
Mushrooms.
I'd say that's like the next.
Okay, we also
big
have a
thing.
Book on mushrooms. Where is it?
I think it's in your bag. Or wait, no.
No, I brought it in. Anyway, we can remember. Oh, here. It's on the ground.
We threw it on the ground.
By the way, can we just give an update as well to our listeners that we are a bit shook this evening because our resident mixologist is not here.
Yeah.
So we had to make our own drinks.
Yeah, out of the fridge.
And then we just ended up opening a can.
Yeah.
And drinking it because Sigurd is elsewhere.
Yeah.
Sad.
It is sad.
Okay, so sorry.
If anyone sees him, send him back.
Mushrooms. Yeah.
So the thing about mushrooms is like, I think people not in Norway or even in Norway, actually, people are like, oh my
scared.
God, you pick mushrooms. That is so crazy.
Mm.
And it's like, I think obviously people are afraid of being poisoned. But if you know the signs and you have a picture book such as this.
Yeah. And you also there's apps now.
And there's apps.
Like, obviously you shouldn't rely on the app like to 100% tell you. But like,
there are just certain things you can check off a list, like, but there's just also certain mushrooms that are so obvious.
Yeah, like as in the first one in this book, chanterelle, cantharelle.
Yeah,
like I don't think it has an evil twin.
It doesn't
like,
have
think.
No, so it doesn't. The thing is, I know this. It doesn't have an evil twin, but it has one that does look a bit similar. But there's like,
but is it poisonous?
It's not good for you, no. But there's a couple of really obvious things that you can check.
Yeah, right.
So
exactly.
That's the thing, is it's not actually like a twin.
And I think that's what the thing with the app is that it's good for. It's like you can use the app and be like, okay, what I use the app for is like, I'm not using it to actually identify the mushroom. No. I'm like, what could this be? Yeah. And then I look at the mushroom and I look on the internet of like, what is this mushroom? And then it's like, I mean, normally the app is pretty accurate, actually. AI.
Yeah.
It's going to kill us all, but...
Not via mushroom.
Well, maybe. Oh. Maybe the AI will hack into the mushroom app and then start telling people to pick the fucking death caps. And that will be how it, like, eradicates humanity. Oh, or a small percentage of humanity.
That forages the mushrooms. Yeah, it's
like, first on AI's list of, like, how to eradicate humanity. First things first, the foraging community. Australia! The Australian foraging community is, like, not decimated. Well. Yeah. Okay, yeah, so chanterelles.
So delicious.
What I picked recently was a lot of porcini.
Oh,
or what do we call those in English? Seps?
Oh, I call them porcini.
Yeah, but I think you can also call them... Oh, penny bun, I think is like a word. And then also, is it seps? Which just kind of makes sense, like sup, maybe. Oh,
interesting.
But like they are so delish. We barbecued them. And then I've actually strung a load up.
Alex was complaining about
Alex is complaining because he said it smells like feet. But yeah. I think it smells amazing. Have you smelled it?
No.
It smells so good.
But you know,
so
he said that
good.
And then he was like, actually, maybe it smells kind of good.
No, it smells good. I think he's just being dramatic. But yeah, they're amazing. Mothrisker, don't eat those. I feel like we just have like a few. Oh, these ones we need to talk about. The ink caps.
Oh, we do. We do, yeah.
Because they are such... a bitch mushroom.
Yeah.
They are puritanical.
Judging you.
Judging, because what they are is like they're edible, but as long as you don't drink alcohol.
Yeah.
Oh, some of them. I think this one is like fine. In fact, actually, yeah, that was the thing, Indigo, that I realized that there's like two types. One that you can just eat with alcohol and one that you can't. And I think maybe the one that grows in my garden is the one that is edible even with alcohol.
Interesting.
There's only one way to find that.
But yeah, so if you eat them and then you drink alcohol, you get really sick, right?
Yeah. It's like an interaction in your body. And it's like 2 weeks after.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. But it's like, I think there's a drug that they give to alcoholics that makes them sick when they drink alcohol. So maybe it's kind of like a similar, or maybe they got it from that mushroom.
Who knows?
Let's say they did. Hot
probably.
Take.
Yeah. Oh
my God. The interesting thing about this mushroom.
Our hot takes are getting... too hot.
Yeah, exactly. We're starting to get fake
the thing
vibes.
Is that these are kind of all the ones that we
pig sup
are good.
And actually, you know what, the most delicious ones that I think we ever got was we found a big batch of puffballs,
but I didn't think the puffballs were that delicious. Did you think they were good?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because they weren't that this taste isn't that strong, but like
we did make some good stuff with it.
I thought the flavor, or like the consistency, just kind of like soaked up the butter and was just true. This kind of like, it's like tofu.
Yeah.
They were like tofu.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. Puffballs are crazy because like you can only eat them when they're not puffing. So, but we found some that
don't eat puffs.
Yeah.
We are an LGBTQIA+ positive podcast. Do not eat puffs. Unless they're not yet a puff and are an edible mushroom. Little known fact about gays.
Oh my God.
But wait, what were you saying?
Yeah, no, it's just that, yeah, you, this is the thing is like, there's always these random like signs with mushrooms. And so you kind of have to figure out, like you said, maybe use an app or a book to figure out like vaguely what it could be. And then you start narrowing it down based on different signs of like, okay, the stalk looks like this, or or the top or the bottom, or, you know, whatever. And then
I think the scary thing is, it's like with berries, it's like you're never going to die really. But like with mushrooms, as we have covered,
I think you can die from some berries, but maybe not in Norway.
Really? Yeah. Okay, actually we should look in this book. There is a section on poisonous berries, but
mushrooms are scary.
I think that's
also
the thing. It's like,
apparently in Norway there's one mushroom and I can't remember which it is, but it's like in I want to say in China it's like a really good mushroom.
Oh my God, sorry, is this the Japanese one that's like Luke was talking to me about?
Yeah,
this.
It looks and like it, the other, it's like not that mushroom, but it looks like it. And so people come, they're like, oh my God, it's like this great mushroom.
It smells kind of like stinky feet. And in Norway, it's not like prized, but in Japan it is. And they used to think that it was two separate mushrooms and they had two separate Latin names.
Yeah.
And then when they realized that it was actually the same mushroom, because they did like genetic tests, they just kept the Japanese name because they were like, Norway, like you're disrespecting that mushroom. So we're going to like use the Japanese name.
Oh, okay.
We should have had Luke edible? On the pod. Oh. Yeah, it's edible and it's like like prized in Japan.
Okay, but so I think maybe I'm thinking of something different because I have heard of a mushroom that it's a deadly twin. And that tourists come here and they see this other mushroom and they're like, oh, it's this like delicious mushroom. And then it's not. It's really bad.
What kind of tourists are like finding
mushrooms? I don't know.
Okay, so there's a section actually in here. Sorry, I just wanted to like point this out. It's like edible berries and then there's tasteless berries and then there's poisonous berries.
Tasteless berries.
I feel like that's like we could categorize people tasteless into like, are they edible, tasteless, or poisonous?
Yeah.
I think we're both poisonous. No, we're edible until you drink alcohol and then we become poisonous.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Okay. Mushroom. What else?
Okay, so then we don't have to go very deep into this, but there's wild garlic, which is really delish, and people make like a pesto kind of thing from it. And it's actually like
that's hard to find.
It's hard to find, and people guard their spots, and it's very like in high-end restaurants they use it a lot.
Yeah.
Nettles, which like everywhere. Grow everywhere,
but you have to get them when they're kind of like green. We've been talking for 3 years about,
I know,
like,
we're never go do because it's always in the spring and I'm like never prepared.
No, me neither. And I'm like I always like kind of like take note of like, oh, there's loads of nettles in that place. Me and Indigo should go there in the spring.
We say it every year.
Yeah, I'm wondering like have you had nettle soup?
Yeah, I have. I've made nettle soup and nettle tea.
Does it sting your tongue?
No, it doesn't. Not when you
cook. How do you
them.
Make the tea?
You just, you can either dry it or you can use fresh and you just use boiling water.
Is it healthy?
It's really, it's healthy and it's really delish. Ooh. And also you can make like a nettle pesto as well.
Ah.
Yeah. And then seaweed? Not something we forage here, but I think there's some areas of Norway that you
and like,
do.
And in Ireland that was like a big thing.
Okay.
Dulemon.
Yeah. And then I wrote spruce tips.
Yeah, you've done that.
Yeah.
But what did you do with them?
I think you can pickle them.
Okay.
But I didn't really do anything with them. You could probably also make a liqueur.
What
as
did
well.
You do? Just spread them on the bed, and when Sigurd came back, you were just lying there covered in pines.
Oh my god. That would take a lot of gathering. I don't
exactly.
I feel like
it conveys your love and your dedication to the relationship.
A bed of spruce tips.
A bed of nettles. Yeah, you got your wires crossed. And now you both have oh my god, actually, precious. Okay. So yesterday we went to me and Sigurd and my friend went to our friend's party. And did you see this message on the party?
No.
On the party. Okay, so someone on the day of the party wrote, "Hey, sorry for this last minute response, but I may have to miss. My partner and I got attacked by parasites called Yurtaluus flua during our mushroom hunt today in the woods and are now self-quarantined in our bathroom for pest control."
But what?
I wish you happy birthday. And like Luke like and Alex were like so freaked out because we were picking a few, like we found a few chanterelles yesterday and we were like, what is that? Did we get attacked by that?
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I hope they're okay.
Me too. I hope they're not still in the bathroom.
I know, that's what we were wondering. We were like, what? Are they like waiting for pest control or like waiting? What are they doing? I feel bad for those people. I wanted to meet them at the party.
That seems crazy. Okay, I think that's everything that you actually forage.
So the other thing that I was thinking about is like, it's not necessarily, that's the thing. This is a question. Is it foraging? Because in Oslo, there's a lot of fruit trees, like public fruit trees.
Yeah.
So like there's cherries, there's apples, there's crab apples. And they're like obviously planted as like orchards and it's a big thing.
Yeah.
People go around and pick them in around this, like, it's over now, but like, in September, like right outside our flat, we have basically a massive orchard of apple trees and crab apples. Is that foraging?
I mean, we talked about this last time because I think you were saying,
oh, did we?
Yeah, you were saying that it has to be in the wild, which I think is a good point.
Sorry, I'm scheduled in to have that worm removed from my brain next week, but until then I'm gonna have memory loss.
The worm is running the show.
The worm like takes like grabs the mic and is like, go out now and start foraging for some greens and don't wash them because they taste so much better when they're unwashed and
this
raw.
This message brought to you by
the worm in Seamus's brain.
Okay, we're already like at 35 minutes and I said we would only do 20. But okay, let me quickly go through the rules, unwritten and written, of foraging. So
people
we need
to know the rules.
Yeah, we already alluded to one of them, which is like not sharing your secret spots. I don't know if I agree with
this. Well, so yesterday we saw a man and he had a basket full of chanterelles.
Yeah.
And like we walked by the trail and he like looked at us and just gave us like a death stare. Whoa. Like, do not dare
to
like,
tell anyone.
Come here or also ever like, and I was like, I'm gonna note down on my like Google Map.
Did you?
I should have, but I didn't. I'm starting to build a Google Map of like where to find stuff to forage because like I found like loads of raspberries in this certain place and da da da. But
yeah, people are very protective of their spots and like will not tell you. So
I've seen memes on that about like Swedes, like, oh, like Swedes are like so friendly until you like start to ask them where the chanterelles are and then they're like,
yeah, death stare.
Yeah.
But for the actual like laws, there are laws that protect your right to forage, which is allmänhetens höstingsrätt, the public's right to harvest.
Ooh.
Which is from the Outdoor Recreation Act of 1957.
Cool.
So and there are like some details in that it's not that you can just pick anything anywhere, whatever you want. So it says that you can pick wildflowers and mushrooms as long as it's not threatened or protected. And then interestingly, you can forage nuts, but they have to be eaten on the spot. Like you can't gather them and take them with you.
Yeah. Why is that?
Don't know. Didn't look it up. Sorry.
It's probably maybe... Is it that like people will be doing it like commercially?
Or could it be that like because they could grow into something else, so maybe they don't want you to like take them with
you? Grow into something else.
Well, you know, like if you drop them like because it's into a nut. Worm no. And enter your brain. It's a nut, so it's like, you know, you would be planting.
Is that bad?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. Like maybe they don't want people to just be like spreading. I don't know. That doesn't really make sense. No. Either. I don't know.
There's a hot take and then there's a hot take indigo, and that is just not acceptable.
My mouth right
but anyway
now is
that's
like
the rule energy. Guys, so if you're gonna eat a nut, shove it in your indigo.
Shove it in your hole.
Stop.
As Seamus taught me to say. And then in Nordland and Troms, you can eat cloudberries where you find them, but you're not allowed to like take them if they're on someone else's land, if they have like not told you that you can.
Oh yeah, see the cloudberry again.
Yeah,
she's protecting her rights.
Yeah, so it's like cloudberries are also kind of like a special thing. And then also berries in general you can't pick on farmland. Makes sense, obviously. And then like close to people's houses, this is kind of related to allmänhet in general, like you know how you can't camp super close. There's probably like a specific amount of like meters. And then you can't forage at all in nature reserves or like other protected areas. And then the final thing is basically you should just take due care. I don't know what it is in Norwegian, but that you shouldn't, it's kind of like, okay, you shouldn't just pick every single thing and overdo it.
But that's funny because yesterday we were actually in a nature reserve and like I had the little sign being like, you're welcome to like whatever nature reserve, but it was like, but you can pick mushrooms and berries here. So I think it depends on the nature reserve.
Oh, okay. That's yeah.
This one
that's
specifically said that you could do it, so it's like, oh, okay. Because I've seen people getting sassy because Ekeberg, which is like a hill near where we live, is a nature reserve, and I've seen. Was it you that was telling me, or someone was saying that like there was probably an Avisa Oslo article being like people going off because people were going up there and picking all the wild garlic, and they were like, "You're actually not allowed to do that because it's a nature reserve."
Oh. Yes. Also, apparently, there's actually a special set of rules for cloudberries. So like cloudberries, they have their own thing. Okay. Yeah. They're like, they're doing their own stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And what are those rules?
Well, so it's like, again, this is like specifically in Northern Norway, but so they can always be foraged outside of protected areas unless the landowner says like, and landowner says no. Okay. So like, if you see them, you can pick them unless you're in a protected area. But again, they have to be eaten where they're harvested.
What?
But then it says unless the owner is clearly not picking them, if you find rotting cloudberries. So I don't really know what that's about. There's so many like weird intricate details about cloudberries.
Just don't eat cloudberries.
And then finally, random, don't know why again, but to forage bark, tree roots, and twigs, you have to ask the permission of the landowner.
Oh, actually, one other random thing that's a foraging thing as well is birch sap.
Oh.
Have you heard about that? You drill a hole in a birch in the spring when all of this, because in the spring all the sap is like, or a lot of sap is coming up to like start to make the leaves and stuff. So you can drill a hole into the birch sap and then you can basically put this little tap in and like, it's like kind of like maple.
Yeah, syrup.
But it's like super low percentage of sugar.
Oh.
And then like I was like watching a video of like someone that got it and they were like, it's kind of just water.
Oh.
And like once you boil it down enough for it to be like syrup, it just tastes like sugar syrup. It doesn't really have them. But it's such a trendy thing. I feel like I've seen it in like bougie cocktails of like
birch syrup.
And it's like, what flavor is this even imparting?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Last thing I want to say is just safety, because we kind of touched on this already. Mm-hmm. Some people think we're kind of crazy for picking mushrooms, but actually there are a lot of places where you can do mushroom checks.
We didn't talk about magic mushrooms as well, because they actually are also, they'd grow in Norway.
They do grow in Norway.
People pick those. But is that legal actually to like pick them in the wild and take them, or how does that work?
I don't think it is, no. There was actually an article in, I think Avisa Oslo, or maybe it was NRK, about someone who was doing that.
And they got caught?
No, she's saying like, why is this not legal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But no, so mushroom control, you can take your mushrooms to people and they'll check them for you.
Sorry. I've heard about this so much. Like, oh, there's going to be a stand of people checking the mushrooms. I've never seen it.
Oh, I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
Where?
At Sognsvann.
Oh,
I mean, maybe it's like specific times and stuff. But
yeah. That's cool.
So if you're like really worried, but you're like, oh, but I do want to pick the mushrooms, you can do it.
Yeah.
And it's very important if you're going to do that, that you keep your mushrooms separate, because sometimes if they touch each other, if like one actually is poisonous, then
cross-contaminate. Yeah.
Okay. Wrapping up, final question. What do you make or eat with the things that you forage? You mentioned that you make
jam,
like to eat with the ribbe at Christmas.
Yeah, jam, mushroom risotto. I dried the porcini.
Oh my God.
Barbecued the porcini.
We do a lot of liqueurs.
Yeah, liqueurs.
That's so easy. It's like you just put it in with some strong alcohol and then...
And also sometimes if I'm feeling like I don't really want to forage that much, but I'm going to forage a tiny bit and I'm going to be like bougie, I will... If we're like having a cabin trip, you know, like sometimes in your gin and tonic, just have a few like lingonberries floating in there, or a few blueberries or like a...
That's cute.
A juniper just to add a little bit of extra gin flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's about it, really.
Yeah, that's it, guys.
Go forth and forage.
Go forth and forage, and don't eat a death cap.
Or greens from the bushlands of Australia without washing them.
So you've taken back control of your brain from the worm.
Yeah, I'm in charge now.
Okay, bye.
Bye.